My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
You know, I got to tell you, it feels like NBA All-Star Weekend used to legitimately mean something. And I don't know if that was because of the competitiveness of the players or because of the era that we were in where people wanted to see superstars playing together, but now we always see superstars playing together, so it doesn't matter as much anymore. I don't know. I don't know what changed. But what we saw over All-Star Weekend, James, I this isn't a new thing. This isn't the first time that people have complained about All-Star Weekend. This just feels like it really came to a head because there was nothing particularly entertaining about the weekend at all. It was just there. It just existed as a nostalgia point for basketball fans.
Yeah, Kyle, I told you this a long time ago. Like, I'm way ahead of the curve on this. There is really nothing all that redeemable about it. It's a big, blustery mess where people are going from one station to the next. The players don't have a great time. The fans might have a good time. I'm not sure. But for media, it's not fun to cover. There is no original content. Everything is kind of staged and overdone. And the basketball and the skills and everything else, it's just not great, right? Like, I don't want to see an All-Star game that looks like that. And to me, it's just such a missed opportunity. And Kyle, you could just see like the bitter disdain on Adam Silver's face. Like, he was just so disappointed with the product that his league put up at All-Star Weekend. And part of it, Kyle, it's his fault. It's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Is his fault.
I agree.
And like, you want to make it a star-driven league and you want to give these guys this really, really long, you know, rope to go be like individuals and stars, then you're going to deal with this. It was not a team game. It's not a fun thing to watch. It's just a bunch of chucking and a bunch of guys who don't want to be there. And I fully side with De'Aaron Fox. Like, why would you want to go? Like, why? I would much rather have the weekend off.
Right. And I think that's what the guys who are there would much rather have the weekend off. And that's why you see what we saw on Saturday night. Like, that was gross.
Yeah.
That stunk. I just, or excuse me, the game, I guess, was Sunday.
Sunday.
Excuse me.
No, Saturday night we watched two G League players who should have been in the finals of the dunk contest because they care, and you couldn't do that. You had to put Jaylen Brown in there for some reason.
They tried to rig it for Jaylen Brown.
They did.
It looked like Jaylen Brown approached the dunk contest like they've asked him to do it every single year, and he finally went, fine, I'll do it, and I'll show you why you should never ask again.
That's right.
That was how he approached, and he still won. They still almost had him win. It was ridiculous. We can talk solutions and whatnot. I think talk about All-Star Game, three-point contest. I thought the Steph Curry, Sabrina Ionescu shootout was great. I thought that was
and more entertaining. I wanted more.
Yeah, that was the most entertaining part of the weekend. To me, if you're going to, quote-unquote, fix the dunk contest by putting stone in it, I need to start by having the game in a place that people who aren't in the game want to go.
Oh, yeah.
Guys are turning down an opportunity to spend a week in Miami or a weekend in Miami or Hawaii.
Yeah.
Or anywhere that's not the Midwest in February. And that's not to knock Indiana or Cleveland or whatever. I've never been to those cities. I cannot speak on those cities. But I do know it's cold as heck.
Should the All-Star game be like a set list between like five cities or whatever, like those warm city names or something like that? Like kind of how they do with the Pro Bowl?
Yes. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know where you land on that.
I told you, I went to New York for All-Star Weekend, and it was with wind chill factor. It was like negative 19. It was the coldest I'd ever been. You couldn't walk a full city block without having to go like drop into a coffee shop without getting frostbite. Jeez, like on your face, like my face was burning the entire time. You had to wear a beanie, you had to wear a huge coat, you had to wear gloves everywhere. Like it was miserable. And you know, it's New York City. You'd like to go out and do other things. Well, like you can't even get from one place to the next. It was so bitter cold. So I don't get that. I mean, I think that's one thing. Like if we're going to compare like all of the sports, which I think we will in a little while, but. How about you just find somewhere that isn't freezing cold and that fans can go outside and enjoy themselves? Like New Orleans has always been great for it, but it's tough. You put your main game in February every year, and that's just it's not a great time of the year for anything really. It's just too bitter cold.
I know, man. I don't know if So look, the league's not going to cancel it altogether, right? Like, that's just not something I think the league is going to do. They're going to turn over every possible stone. And look, the NFL, not that anybody is sitting there like thrilled about the Pro Bowl, but at least the flag football game is a little bit entertaining to watch. And at least the skills competitions highlight some of the things that these guys are good at. Like, it's at least entertaining to have on in the background. If I didn't do this for a job, I would have watched 0 seconds of All-Star Weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tried to watch 0 seconds. I tried.
Right, but that's the thing. It's one of those weird things. I feel like, as a basketball fan, I feel like obligated to turn it on. And then because this is my job, I'm like, okay, I need to watch this. I need to take this in. But the game is stupid. Like, the game itself is dumb.
Yes.
I get, okay, can you fix the dunk contest? Like, sure, there's ways you can tweak. Can you fix the three-point contest? Okay, yeah, there's ways you can tweak it, this and that. But the game itself, what's supposed to be the actual showcase of the league's stars, I don't know if there's, I'm interested in your thoughts on this, because you've covered the league for a long time and have been around it far more than I have. Is it just a matter of, What do you think the biggest factor is? Is it guys not wanting to get hurt? Is it the fact that the superstar thing is just so oversaturated now because we can turn on League Pass or we can go to Twitter or Instagram and see highlights of these guys? Is it because so many stars already play together? Like what is it that happened that made the All-Star game not matter now?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like somewhere along the way, they stopped playing defense. And I know part of that is that like nobody wants to get hurt. Or hurt somebody in a game that doesn't matter. And I get that, but there has to be some sort of incentive for players to go. And yeah. Kyle, like, I'm not sure how you fix that, but when you watch, it's players get shipped from one place to the next to the next to the next the entire weekend. It's not conducive to like having a good time and being part of something. Like there is like, cause I've gone out with them. There's a point where you got to go do some fan stuff, and then you got to go into the community and go act like you hammer nails at a Habitat for Humanity house. And like, this is what we're doing to give back here. This is what we're doing to give back here. The league has such a showcase. But then on top of that, Kyle, it's like, hey, you're a Nike guy. Nike has an event, and you need to show up at your Nike event, and you need to show up at this event, and you need to show up at this event. And hey, the Kings had a banquet. They had a brunch on Saturday, and like, hey, it can be a good thing. DeMarcus Cousins was invited and showed up and took part in the Kings brunch. So maybe we're mending some fences at All-Star Weekend. Maybe that's a good thing. We have a picture of Brad Miller and Vivek Ranadive and DeMarcus Cousins out there. Hey, that's a good thing, right? But
yeah,
it's become like such a thing where you have an itinerary and your day is packed, and it's not fun. It's not a break at all. And then they try to give these guys a couple of days afterwards, like, hey, if you're in the All-Star festivities, you don't have to show up on Tuesday like everyone else. You can show up on Wednesday. And it's just a mess. Mm-hmm. It is. So I don't know. They've expanded the weekend, so it's more than a weekend. It's a full week off now for players. Yeah. And I would, if I'm an owner or if I'm a fan of a team, I would much rather have my players go enjoy themselves, get away from the game, clear your head, get ready for what's next. Don't get exhausted at All-Star Weekend because you have too many responsibilities.
Yeah, I just, it feels like in a era of basketball where players are more skilled than ever, that should be something the league can highlight. And a 48-minute 5-on-5 game is not that.
No.
Like watching Damian Lillard pull from half court, like that's okay, that's a fun thing to see. But watching guys dribble through what are ostensibly traffic cones and throw lobs to guys who are not being defended and there's nobody under the basket, it's just not. Watching Karl Anthony Towns go for 50 points is not my idea of a good time.
No.
I watching a team score 211 points in an environment where it's basically the equivalent of an empty gym, like, that's not that impressive to me.
Kyle, watching two teams combine for 168 three-pointers?
What is that?
That's grotesque.
That's guys not wanting to go play basketball.
It's not even fun to watch at all. Like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is, and whatever it is, they need to stop doing it, and they need to move on.
Yeah, we'll talk about some fixes for All-Star Weekend and some different things they can try. We will talk about that coming up in a bit. I have some 49er stuff I want to get into as well, because it appears that everybody's trying to like slam the eject button on their roster already. And that's not a thing that needs to happen yet, and we'll talk about why. And then, real quick, we will have an update on Scott Pollard from you, James. We'll have that coming up as well. But before we hit the break, one of my buddies and one of my coworkers from the NFL Wire Network, Mark Lane, passed away over the weekend. And I just wanted to shout him out, because you meet a lot of people in this industry who are very much out for themselves and who are very much not willing to put in the work, and they feel some sort of like obligation or entitlement to something. And Mark never, ever had that as the managing editor at Texans Wire. He was a huge Cowboys fan, but worked his ass off make Texans Wire the best thing it could be. He was always super helpful, not just when people asked, but would reach out like during Super Bowl week and would reach out to who the editors were and be like, how can I help? What can I do to help you? Not to boost his own profile, but just to genuinely be helpful. And he was hilarious. And that's something that that is really, really hard to find. And I am better for having known Mark. And the NFL wire networks are definitely worse without him. So just wanted to shout him out. He was one of the best, and I appreciate all the work he did. So
yeah. Sorry for
just wanted to get
that.
No, it's all good. We're you know, moving forward. So that's what we're going to do. That's what Mark would want to do. He'd probably be mad that I made it a sad thing. but that's how we're going to move forward. We'll talk about the All-Star game. We'll talk about the 49ers, and we'll have an update on Scott Pollard next right here on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESP 1320.
All right, we're back in here locked in. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're talking All-Star Weekend. We'll have some 49ers offseason stuff, whether the team is going to trade or not trade Brandon Ayuk. We'll talk about that. But first, James Hamm, an update on Kings legend Scott Pollard, please.
Yes, Scott Pollard underwent heart transplant surgery this weekend. And everything like initially has gone really well. I know, like from what I've read this morning, he is he's a little sore today. But he was actually like absolutely incredible. He's able to stand in less than 24 hours, and then he was able to walk with a walker. And if you guys haven't seen the videos, I put it up on the Kings beat, but also Scott's wife Dawn is on Twitter posting updates nonstop, and like talk about inspiring. I mean, like, but watching a doctor and a nurse try to help a 6'11" giant up off a bed was it's comical, but it also it kind of tells you like what he's up against. You can see like his right arm is nothing but like little cables going into his body. Basically, they had to do an external pacemaker this morning, I think. And hey, look, there is a GoFundMe account for him. So Kyle and we have a mutual friend named Jody Bacon. Everyone, like if you've been in the Sacramento media scene for any amount of time, met Jody or you've heard her name before, running the GoFundMe account for Scott and his wife. Yes, he's an ex-NBA player, but that was a long time ago. And I think that's something we need to realize, that NBA players, their lifespan in the game is so short, and then they go on to live a life after that. And so use help. If there is a GoFundMe, you guys can jump on board with that. I've tweeted it out a couple of times, so you can go to my Twitter handle, or you can just remember that Scott is spelled with one T. That's the easiest way to find Scott Pollard. And Kyle just reposted it on Twitter as well. Good luck to him in his journey. This is not an easy journey, and it's not going to be an easy journey for him and his family for a long time. And you wish the best for him, but he's lucky they found a heart for him, because a guy that size has to have a donor that's like 6'3" or bigger in order for him to get a heart that will fit him. And so the parameters of finding a heart for him were difficult as it was. And so hopefully everything goes okay for him and his family here going forward.
Yeah, that's the videos of him walking around were wild. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I exercise and can't get out of bed the next day. This dude got a new heart, and he's like, all right, up and out. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. But look, this is a forever issue for him. You know, and right. Life expectancy, you can look at life expectancy after heart transplant. It's not great. So this is just one step in his journey. And, Godspeed to him and his family, because this isn't an easy one at all.
Yeah, no doubt. This is, you don't get a new heart and then it's like, okay, hey, go live just like you were.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that's going to be an easy thing. So shout out to Scott. Shout out to his wife, Dawn. And shout out to Jody for putting that GoFundMe together. It is on Twitter. James and I have both tweeted it out. And then it's Jody Bacon, Jody with an I, if anybody wants to go track it down there as well. All-star game, all-star weekend. How do you fix it? Let's start with, does the three-point contest need fixing? I feel like the three-point contest is fine. It just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the three-point contest is fine. But I would also point out that, hey, look, watching, Sabrina and Steph go head-to-head, I thought was super cool. And if you're going to throw Matt McClung and you're going to throw in, again, most people don't know that Obi Toppin has a brother.
And had no idea.
And there he is in the dunk contest, right? That wasn't Obi. If you're going to do that, then why not do more of a global challenge where you do bring in a couple of G Leaguers, you bring in a couple of the ladies from the WNBA game, and you promote the other products that you have. And so that's one way that if you could expand one of these events, I think the three-point contest is probably the easiest one to do, and to have guys go up against a guy like Steph or some of these stars in the three-point shootout, I think that would be pretty cool. I also think that... you could probably do something like where you have a couple of shots that are way deeper. So,
yeah, I agree. The one above the break there is not like, dude, you should go second rack and then like the logo and then get one from the logo.
Yeah.
And make it worth 6 points or whatever. No, there's definitely little tweaks that would be easy on on the 3-point contest. And I think it's for the most part fine. I just think you need to have your guys like Steph in it. I think Damian Lillard doing it is great. I think mixing in the WNBA aspect of it was really fun. I honestly, the 3-point contest is the thing I have the fewest gripes with.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward.
No, I totally agree. It is.
But I think with the dunk contest, I don't think it's necessarily as easy as just, hey, get LeBron in it, get, I can't even get Jason Tatum in it. I don't know whoever, like pick your favorite star player. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily that easy. I just think that we've seen it all.
No, I
just
so.
Don't think I think we're lacking creativity more than anything.
Yeah. I think there is a limitation to what you can do as a dunker. Although I think that if you watch some mixtapes, there might be like some guys out there on YouTube that can do some things that have never been done in an NBA dunk contest. I like the originality issue. Like, I'm tired of watching people jump over the top of people. It doesn't really, like, I mean, I get it. It's Shaq, and you jumped over Shaq, but I mean, Ben McLemore in like 2013, 2014 jumped over Shaq sitting in a chair in a giant throne. Like, it's old. Like, all of it's old. It's stale. There's not a lot you can do. I think the one thing that you could do is I think there are some supreme dunkers that are hiding in the league that they just don't get invited. Like, even some star quality guys that that you could probably, if you up the ante big time and said, hey, look, everyone gets $1 million and the winner gets $2 million or something. Or everyone gets $1 million and the winner gets $2 million and goes towards the charity of your choice or your foundation. That to me is a way that you could maybe get a couple of other guys involved. So we're not watching again, like sort of the G League versus like a NBA star, or open it up and have it like go out and find the, like, do American Idol style and find some of the greatest dunkers in the world and bring them in and be like, okay, look, like,
oh, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, you get to go, you can dunk against Matt McClung and then maybe some other guys. Like, just like, forget the fact that it's an NBA thing, just make it the platform, right? And maybe that's something that would work as well. But for what we're seeing now, it's just like, come on now. This is...
You have to add some kind of like competition level to it, some kind of stakes. And G League guy v. G League guy v. Jaylen Brown, like, just doesn't move the needle. What are the stakes there? Oh, Jaylen Brown lost to Mac McClung. Nobody cares. But if it's LeBron James losing to, and I'm just picking LeBron because it's a big, like I said, pick your favorite dunker, Malik Monk, losing to some rando off YouTube, like, that's an interesting storyline. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of fascinating, and I'm in. Like, I will watch the heck out of that. It's just, I think financial incentive, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think that's ultimately the driver of all this.
Yep.
If you incentivize, but the problem is, and Sam Amick, I believe, wrote about this in The Athletic today, a bunch of The Athletic NBA writers wrote how they'd fix the All-Star weekend. And somebody brought up financial incentive, but Sam Amick kind of pushed back on it and was like, these All-Star guys are typically already on their second or third contract where they're making $40-50+ million a year.
Yes.
$500,000 is not going to move the needle for them to really try.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you run into the issue of, okay, every winning player gets, what's the number? $4 million. Well, now you're, as a league, you're out almost $50 million for the winning team and the losing team's got to get something. Like, that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
So I don't.
I'm with you on that. Like, I don't think that there's a way to fix the actual game itself. And I mean, in all honesty, like, when I'm watching the game play out, like, it's missing players like Sabonis, guys who actually care, guys who actually play the game the right way, guys who aren't out there just, you know, flashy and you know, showing out and just chucking. That it's kind of like you strip away what's good about the game. The game is great because it's five guys working together. One guy can't single-handedly win an NBA championship. And, you know, it just... So when you get into an All-Star game and it feels like five individuals, I don't think there's any way to piece these guys together and make it, like, more cohesive. But the way you do that, maybe, is to bring in guys who are actually team players. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how much at that point. So who's your starting five then?
Oh yeah,
in the West. How are you dictating team player? You know, I get what you're saying. It's just not. I don't know how the NBA judges that.
Yeah, I think
what's supposed to be a showcase of their stars.
No, I get you. I just think that the one way you can do it is by not looking at the top 10 scorers in the league and making sure every single one of them is in there, except for De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, no doubt. We will have plenty more All-Star stuff for you. And are the 49ers going to trade Brandon Ayuk? Plus, we're going to take a look ahead to the Kings second half. What do they have to do to kind of they finish the first half strong? What do they have to do to keep that going in the second half? We'll talk about all that coming up on The Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I don't know how to fix it, man. I mean, that's true for a lot of things, but the All-Star game specifically.
Yeah.
This box score is gross, bro.
It's so gross. Like, it's not even 168 attempts. One team shot 91. 91 three-pointers.
No. One team shot 71 three-pointers. The other team shot 97.
97. My bad. Yeah.
Come on. Get it together.
Yeah, it's wild.
497 from beyond the arc for the East. I don't know. I just don't know. Like, maybe it's the selection process. We're talking about this a little bit at the break, and because fans and media and players, those three votes get tied together to choose the starters.
Mm-hmm. It's 50, 25, 25. The fan 50%. The other two split the rest 25-25.
And it's SGA, Luka, Nikola Jokic, LeBron, Kevin Durant is your five starters.
I didn't really do with the five starters.
And then in the East, it's Giannis, Tatum, Bam Adebayo, injury replacement for Joel Embiid. And then it's Dame and Tyrese Halliburton.
Don't have any issues with those either. No, nope.
Yeah, I know Knicks fans had a quibble with Jalen Brunson should have been starting, which, okay, fine. But after that, I think that's where maybe, because like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George played 10 minutes each. I promise they didn't enhance the game.
No.
Anthony Edwards played 13 minutes. He took three shots and had one board and one assist. He was out there just moving around. Steph Curry played 26 minutes. He took 17 shots, 13 of them from three. Karl Anthony Towns, 28 minutes, 35 shots in 28 minutes for Cat, by the way. He scored 50.
Oof.
And that's, I think, that's where I think the crux of the issue is you have guys who go out there like Karl Anthony Towns, and Karl Anthony Towns who, look, God bless him. He is on one of the best teams in the West and is a heck of a ball player. Should he have been on the All-Star team? TBD. But Karl Anthony Towns went out there and said, I'm going to score 50 tonight. It is my goal to score 50. That is not what made the All-Star game. Watching one of the All-Star moments in my lifetime that sticks out so vividly to me is LeBron James guarding Kobe Bryant on the perimeter and Drake's dumbass standing up and getting in the way of the photo. But it's LeBron guarding Kobe and like, let's go, like one-on-one. Let's play.
Yeah.
That's fun. Like maybe that's what it is. I've seen this a lot, turning it into a 2-on-2 or a 3-on-3 or a 1-on-1. I would watch just an hour of NBA All-Star King of the Court where it's just one-on-one. You get a stop, you stay on, you score, you stay on. I would watch that over an All-Star game every single day of the week.
Yeah. I kind of feel
Team USA, Team USA posts videos of that all the time, and I'm always enthralled.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, Kyle, like maybe you could do like a round robin, like seven-man team, you know, like four seven-man teams, and they play against each other, and you got subs coming in and out, and you're trying to like build towards something, because there's just no competition in a four-quarter game for them. So I don't understand what, you know, do a 10-minute running clock, or do like first team to 21. Or 31, whatever it might be, like, because it would happen, like, it would go really quick, and then you would have some level of competition, even especially if you don't even need to do full court, just do a half court version. Like, there has to be something here that we do that's different than what's happening right now, because to me, it's like, you just turn it off. That's what I do. Like, I just don't sit down. Like, why am I going to waste my time? That's not NBA basketball. That's not what I cover. So
I gained nothing.
No.
It's not even fun. And that's the thing, James. You say it's not NBA basketball. It's not what I cover. And I would be fine with that if the guys were still at least trying a little bit.
Yeah.
If there was a modicum of, even if it was like, okay, hey, on this possession, everybody's going to clear out and it's going to be one-on-one LeBron, and I know it can't happen like this because they're both in the West, but follow me. One-on-one, it's going to be LeBron against Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Or pick somebody from the East. It's going to be LeBron against Jason Tatum, and they're just going to clear out, and it's going to be one-on-one this possession. I would even be fine with that.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that it's LeBron jogging down, and he's going to do a funny dribble between his legs while the other five guys in the East stand around, and he throws it off the backboard. Oh, and then Kevin Durant goes in and dunks it. Great. Cool.
Yeah.
I know.
And someone brings up, like, what I'm talking about is kind of what they're doing in the Rising Stars game. Yeah, like, that's fine. And first of all, why are you doing that in the Rising Stars and not in this? Because it seems like the Rising Stars, at least you might get a little bit more, like, full court activity and, like, guys actually trying to play to show that they're the next. Why you're reserving that for that game and not for the main game? I would switch. I would have a standard game for the Rising Stars and then for the main team. Like, look, bump up the incentives, or you know, like I like do what Major League Baseball does. Like, the winner gets game one of the NBA Finals. Whatever conference wins, they get game one of the NBA Finals. And people will say, oh, well, that's not fair. It's like, okay. Well, you guys have messed around and ruined our All-Star weekend, so how do we fix that? You guys need to earn that. Like, and that's where I would start going. Like, there has to be some sort of incentive for these players to actually go out there and try hard.
I don't disagree. I don't love the idea of a home court advantage going to the winner of All-Star weekend, because the East went out and won All-Star weekend, or won the All-Star game by 25 points. Mm-hmm. My math is right there. Yeah, 14. Yeah, 25. What if, and just follow me, what if the Kings go to the finals and their guys didn't get a chance to play in the All-Star game?
That's hilarious.
And now they have to not have home court because LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Nikola Jokic didn't care enough about the All-Star game.
Yeah, but you have to understand those guys are going to be fighting for it as well, right? And then, because like they're also in it for the championship. I mean, most of the guys that are in the All-Star weekend, except for your two Lakers and one Warrior, are basically in the standard playoffs, like the 8-man playoffs, as if it were to end today, right? The old school 8-man playoffs. I don't know, Kyle. Right. I think there are other ways you could do it. Like I would bring up that, like, I'm kind of tired of the legacy players getting in, and sure, they're great and they're fun, and of course they played minutes, but why don't we do something like expand the rosters to 15 players on each side? Yeah. And then do three legacy players of those 15. So again, you'd have your 12-man roster, but then these three legacy players. And if a legacy player gets into a vote and is one of the starters, that's fine. They automatically, like, there's a little star legacy, like, put a stamp on your name, and that means that someone else in the regular team and the non-starters gets an All-Star bid. So that's a way that I think you could do it. I think you could also do better representation. I don't fully agree with Major League Baseball where every single team is represented at All-Star Weekend, because I think it does get watered down. And I think there are players who have made All-Star teams where you're just looking at them like, dude, you were, I don't know if you were an All-Star in Little League and now you're in this game because the A's have to be represented. Okay. like the Pittsburgh Pirates, who gut their team every other year, they have to be included in All-Star Weekend. So some guy,
hey, they've started signing guys.
Hey, they could have like a guy make the All-Star team 5 years in a row because he's a best player on a horrible team, and then he could be considered down the road because he has all these All-Star nods. You're like, wait a sec, that guy's only an All-Star because of this. But there has to be some sort of way, in my opinion, for them to improve the quality. And I certainly think that the top six teams that are official playoff teams, the top eight teams, whatever, every team should be represented at All-Star Weekend without any question. I mean, if you're a playoff team, you should be represented in All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think there's another thing too that got brought up in that piece by The Athletic that I thought was a really good point, and I wish I could remember which writer wrote this, but it might have been Amick. But it was about how they need to bring in local fans, and how the crowd is so watered down with celebrities and corporate donors and sponsors and this and that, that it just loses all of its kind of luster. Like nobody in the stands cares about the game, and they just want to be there just for the sake of saying they're there. And you kind of get that same vibe from the players as well. Man, it's just so tough because we already have not necessarily an effort issue, but the league had to make rules about players playing in the regular season, like games that actually count.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this game, the All-Star game, that no matter what we want to call it, what we want to say about it, what it is, what it was, what it should be, what it shouldn't be, it doesn't count. It doesn't matter at all. So you have guys who are already, and again, it's changed a little bit this year because of the 65 game threshold for postseason awards and all NBA, etc. But you already had guys who were looking for ways to back out of games, and now you have this. Like, I don't see that changing at any point, because guys, now the All-Star game is great, but it doesn't mean what it used to. And everything is so playoff and ring focused now that's always going to take precedence over, well, I performed well in the All-Star game, because it doesn't matter if you perform well in the All-Star game. You could have 10 All-Star game MVPs, but if you never win a title, that's what's going to headline your career resume.
Yeah.
Said, oh, he never won a championship. And you're not going to get credit for trying hard in the All-Star game. So guys are going to take it as time off. Yeah, okay, I'll go mess around. I'll go put up 35 shots and not try on defense.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, if you think back, like Mitch Richmond won an All-Star game MVP while in Sacramento. And it was a big deal. Like, that was a big deal. It was like, hey, not only is Mitch representing Sacramento in the All-Star game, but he actually goes out there and has an impact, and he wins something from the game. And I think that was a point of pride for a lot of people in Sacramento. Like, hey, look, we got a guy. And
sure.
Like, I don't know that it has to be something like that, but like you brought up the local fans. It is a bunch of like star chasing, and like, I don't even know how you get fans into the building. There's so many media members again, mm-hmm. where it doesn't even matter. To me, it's become such a ridiculous thing that going to it as a media member, like I went 1 year, I think it was in, I want to say it was in Houston. Maybe it was in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. No, it was in New York, and they had 10 media seats for 30 of us. We're like, what are we supposed to do? They're like, well, we have like a little area you guys can stand. It's like, well, you don't want us. I guess you don't want us covering it then? Not really. Like, whatever you can do. It's like, okay, what are we like? Where are we supposed to put a laptop? Like, oh, well, like if you get one of the seats, that's cool. It. Yeah. Like maybe have someone else hold it for you while, you know, while you're typing. I don't know. But like the whole thing is like poorly designed is, I guess, my point. And for as many people you want local fans there, like there's such a huge area for in some of these games where they just open up hundreds of seats for media members because there's media from all over the globe who are watching it to get nothing to get nothing. What are you there for?
To be there.
Yeah. Just to be there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's in San Francisco next year and I can't wait to go.
We'll be there
and just see what it is.
Oh
just
yeah. Yeah.
See what the deal is.
Yeah. And then the whole time you'll be thinking, why is it that Sacramento can't have one of these? Because this is stupid that they can't have one. That I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, they make excuses. Well, you don't have enough 4- and 5-star hotels. Okay, that's fine. I don't know what the number is you need. Well, you don't really have other places that you can put events. It's like, okay, you got the convention center. You got Raleigh Field. You've got like riverboats.
Sutter Health Park.
Yes, there's so many different things that you can set up. Like, I don't get it. Like, you can close off part of J Street or just close off K Street the whole way down and make, like, a big festival there. I don't know. Like, they like to make excuses for why Sacramento can't have one, and none of them really make all that much sense.
Yeah. I not enough 4- and 5-star hotels is just like, okay, sorry. If that is, then fine.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I've fallen down a rabbit hole of the 1995 All-Star Game now.
Uh-oh.
It was in Phoenix. It was those sick purple jerseys that are now all the rage on Mitchell and Ness. Final score, 139-112. Oh, look, a basketball game. No Michael Jordan in that one.
Oh,
because he was still retired. But you had on the East, you had Penny Hardaway, Reggie Miller, Scottie Pippen, Grant Hill, and Shaq. And then in the West, it was Latrell Sprewell, Dan Majerle, Charles Barkley, Sean Kemp, and Hakeem. Mitch Richmond, Gary Payton, David Robinson, Detlef Schrempf, John Stockton, all on the bench. Karl Malone. Ugh.
It's a pretty strong bench.
Really good bench. Yeah. The East bench, it was Vin Baker, Dana Barros, Joe Dumars, Patrick Ewing, Tyrone Hill, Larry Johnson, and Alonzo Mourning. No wonder the West won going away.
All right.
The West is such a better team. I'm trying to find Rock's stat line real quick. 10 of 13, 23 points, 4 boards, 2 assists. He was 3 of 3 from beyond the arc.
And he won the MVP with that?
And he won the MVP with that.
With 23 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
A guy did not get named MVP who scored 50. In this game this weekend. And you know what his coach says about that, right?
No.
Yeah, just out there hunting shots. I mean, that's what he said when he scored 62. Just like...
Carl Anthony Towns is the weirdest... Carl Anthony Towns is weird as hell, bro. He thinks he's like... He just kind of is where he is in the NBA hierarchy, right? He's not a top tier player, but he's probably like that second tier down, right? Are we all in agreement there?
Yeah, to me, first of all, he's not an all-star. Like the fact that his team was leading the West when the votes came down, sure. But outside of that, you already had all-star representation in Anthony Edwards. Like to me, Cat just, we talk about hollow stats or empty calories. That's empty calories right there. And not only that, but like historically throughout his career, like how many games has he taken off? How many months has he taken off during the season? Like there's enough there that you're just like, he's not, as far as I know, like in anyone else's hierarchy outside of whoever decided to put him on the All-Star team. So
he is a 4-time All-Star. This is his 4th All-Star. He's been All-NBA twice,
Yeah.
One of which was in 2017-18. He played 74 games in 21-22. But that's the only time in the last 5 years that he's eclipsed 70 games. He's on track to do it this year, I should note.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, he's a good player, but not a great. But he's trying to like speak into existence that he's this legend and this awesome player.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Like, I don't think that's what people want when they're saying, like, dude, you need to be like the dude. You need to be a guy that in the biggest moments people are leaning on you. You need, it's not just saying, oh, I'm a legend in this game and legends can work together. He's talking about him and Anthony Edwards. It's like, that's not, no, you're not. Like, wait, you're fine.
He called himself a legend? Oh.
Yes. He thinks very highly of himself.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, you want that, you'd prefer to see that kind of confidence, but it feels fake because we've never seen that before. And now he's just trying to speak into existence that he's this awesome, really good player. And maybe he will go to the playoffs this year and be incredible and he can change the narrative on his career so far. But man, Carl Anthony Towns is a weird dude. And then it's like he goes out in the All-Star game and goes, I'm scoring 50 tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the guy that scored 50 in an All-Star game. I'm like, no, you're just the guy who took all the shots, bro.
Well, it's also a lot of
shots.
A lot of people are probably looking around like, why is he here? And he probably heard it as well. Like, why is he there?
Yes.
And like, oh, I'll show you why I'm here. I'm going to put up 50. Like, okay. You know how many times he's made it out of the first round of the playoffs?
Once. Well, didn't they win a playoff series a couple years ago?
No. The answer is zero, Kyle.
Oh, they won the play-in.
Yeah. No.
Was that the one where Patrick Beverley was like on the scorers table?
2018.
Is that a play-in game?
They're 1-4 in the playoffs. 2022, they're 2-4 in the first round. And in 2023, they were 1-4. Yeah.
For his career, he is 18.6, 11.4, 2.1 in the playoffs. 33% from three.
Yeah. But he's an all-star, Kyle. He's an all-star who can put a 50 in a game. And 60 in a regular season. He can. He's a walking bucket. I am now convinced. I saw him in the All-Star game. I am now convinced that Karl Anthony Towns. I would also point out, I don't know if there's ever been a player in one season who scored 50 or more, be it an All-Star game or a regular season game, that lost both games. Just saying.
Oh, I think. Ooh.
Is that a stat we can look up?
That's a great. That should be. I think Will Z is in here, and he is not in the midst of a show right now, so he might be able to look it up quicker than me. But Steph might have actually done it this year.
Where he scored 50?
I know he has at least one. Yeah, I know he has at least one.
And lost?
Where he scored 50 and lost, yeah.
Oh.
Stand by. Hang on.
Wow.
That I can look up really quick. No, I'm sorry. He had 46 and a loss to the Lakers.
Okay.
And then 60 and a loss to Atlanta.
See, now I've made up my own stat. Close. Yeah, I've made up my own stat. I'm sticking with it. Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns, the only player ever. Maybe not.
Will is in the chat. He is here. What's the question? Has a player ever scored 50 and lost twice in the same season?
Yes. And lost.
That's the question.
Yeah.
And lost. So 50 and a loss two times same season.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns just feels like one of those guys that, you know, how we always talk about this with Domas, where we talk about like, okay, where's the balance between him scoring and him setting up his teammates and being the offensive hub? And like, where's the balance? Where's that? With Karl Anthony Towns, it's so clear to me. Like, bro, when you're scoring, your team is worse. when you're a high volume scorer, the team is demonstrably worse.
Yeah, I think you could call him the anti Sabonis. Like, without any question.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he puts up numbers, but I'm confused, how of the top 19 scorers in the league, one doesn't make it, and it's De'Aaron Fox. And then you have this other guy who, you know, again, Karl Anthony Towns, 22.5, 8.4 rebounds, 2.9 assists. How is that more valuable?
Fine.
How is that more valuable than a guy averaging 20.1, 13.2 and leading the NBA in rebounding and 8.3 assists per game, sixth in the NBA. How is that more valuable? How is 22.5, 8.4, and 2.9? I don't care. I don't care that his team is good, like in the first 4 months of the season.
And that his coach was the coach of the All-Star game.
Yeah, but that didn't have anything to do with him making the All-Star game. Like that, his coach got in as a coach of the All-Star game because they were leading the league at a specific point in the season. And they're still leading the league right now. They're 39-16, so yeah. It's not, and I know, someone said in the chat, Ramsey said, NBA leader in rebounds doesn't make the All-Star team. He's not just a leader in rebounds. He's the leader in triple-doubles. He's a leader in double-doubles. He has 50 double-doubles in 54 games. He's got 18 triple-doubles. Like, he's an elite player that somehow gets left out of All-Star Travis Shaman mockery weekend. So... anyway.
Yeah.
There it is, Kyle.
I preached to the choir. I have no notes.
That's right.
Will Z has come through. There are a bunch of players who have scored 50 twice in a season, two or more times in a season and lost. I can't wait to get to these numbers with you. We'll also talk Kings in the second half of their season. They don't play until Thursday, but we're going to keep them in the conversation. We got that coming up for you next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.